Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 2021 offers, contact your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
Joe at RTE.ie. Laurie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Actually, I shouldn't have raised my voice. You're very sensitive, rightly so, to the noise that you're living with at the moment.
Oh my God, it's unbearable.
And this audio that you sent us in, where did you record that?
I recorded that just from my back garden.
Here it is. And here it is again, it's coming up again. And what time was this at, Laurie?
Well, I'll tell you, Joe, I'll just go back. They come in, you can hear the machines coming in and vibrating, and at 6:30 they arrive.
Okay.
And then they start scraping the rocks with horrible, huge, massive rock scoopers, if you will. And then right at 8 o'clock, bang on the nose, maybe 5 minutes after, depending, the rock breaking with 30-ton rock
breakers. This is what starts.
Begins. Yeah.
And what are they doing? What are they building?
Well, they're building a massive apartment complex, and this is Twin Light Construction. And they were denied planning for years and years, and finally, after years, they were given planning. And they felled like about 190 trees, and then that was bad enough. But then the rock breaking started, and it is just unbearable. And it goes on solid. I mean, they might take literally a 10-minute break, and that is it. Yeah. It goes on for 10 hours a day.
And are they digging into a mountain or down into the ground?
Down into the granite. Huge, huge boulders. And then they take away truck after truck after truck.
And where, do you want to tell me where it is?
It's in Castellan Park, where they were granted permission to build.
Where is that? Where is that?
Castellan Park in Dalkey.
Okay.
On Castellan School Ground, Castle Park, sorry, School Ground.
Okay.
And it's just unbelievable because it's right next to the school, and I don't see how it was even granted with, you know, even considering the children, let alone all of the people that are just literally.
And do you think looking at it, obviously you're listening to it, but do you think they're going to be there for long, digging?
2 years.
And when did the digging start, this noise start?
September, the first part of September. And it's been so bad that I literally have to be spending all of my days sitting in the car because we are right on the end and we cannot tolerate the noise.
My daughter's saying sitting in the car out the front of the house. Is that
Well, I'm in a townhouses, a strip of townhouses called Castle Park Grove.
Mm.
And we're on the right end, right next to it. And it's like having it in my bedroom and in my lounge and in my kitchen. And the whole building, the whole complex just trembles. And you can even feel it jolting your innards. And I have a chronic pain condition.
Oh.
And sitting in the car for so long, because it's the only place I can go to get away with it. So I just take my coffee or my tea or whatever and sit in there all day long. Try and get up and go for short, brief walks, but the noise just reverberates all up
and
down the road.
And Laurie, have you raised this issue with the company?
Or
the council or whatever?
Yes, with planning and with Twin Light, the construction company themselves, and local councillors, and I've just been ignored. I got one letter and they just say the same thing over and over as if by rote. We have planning, we have planning, we have planning.
Oh, that's the letter we've just got from them. We have planning. We are very conscious that development is adjacent to a school and a vibrant community. We've invested a considerable amount to both reduce and monitor noise levels. We've opted to use a different method of rock breaking to the one you can hear now in the background, to those normally used. The international standards for noise and vibration have never been breached.
Well, that's total rubbish. Let me tell you, I'm from a medical background, and I know that you can have considerable damage to your eardrums and to your head and brain at 70, and we get 80 inside the house.
Well, you've measured it.
Yes, we have measured it. So that is not true.
You're getting it. Okay, Laurie, stay there for a sec. Linda Green. Linda, when Laurie said 6:30, she meant 6:30 a.m., obviously. But in your case, it's the other end of the day when it starts.
It is, Joe, and I feel Laurie's pain. But for us, it's from midnight until about 5:30 a.m.
Where?
East Wall, Ossory Road, an apartment block that runs adjacent to the Irish Rail Line.
I know it, yeah.
And they tell us that they need to do the maintenance on the rail at night, and it's all maintenance work.
And what's the noise like?
It's absolutely ridiculous. I sent you some of your staff on some videos from it.
Here it is. So what time does that noise start at, Linda?
That's 3 a.m. in our bedroom every night.
3 a.m.? That's recorded in your bedroom?
That's in the bedroom. Yeah, that's just outside. That's the balcony off our bedroom door, Joe. We've literally moved the bedroom to the sitting room.
You've moved around your house to try and... And what, when you look down, what type of machines are they using?
They're using pneumatic drills and they're using industrial-sized angle grinders. They're also using lights, big massive lights, and the generators themselves, and then construction machinery going up and down the tracks.
So it's Ian Rodern. Are they building, like, I know a lot of railway lines confluence there, so to speak. They all join
up.
And it goes into, one of it goes into Amiens Street, doesn't it? One goes to, goes to what is now the Docklands, isn't it?
That's right, Joe, yeah. But any time, I've contacted about 20 different individuals in Irish Rail. It's Irish Rail. Like, similar to that last lady, I get the same generic spiel back. We're entitled to work during the night, and nothing about a noise management plan. I've contacted local TDs, Pascal Donoghue.
And what have you done? Okay, I'll come back to that in a second, I promise. But what have you done yourself for noise reduction? Well, can you do anything yourself?
Well, we've triple glazed windows. In the apartments, we've bought triple layer curtains that are supposed to lower the acoustics from outside.
Yeah.
I'm wearing Bluetooth headphones or yellow earbuds that my brother got me from the airport. And then eventually we've had to move the bedroom from the rear, which faces the rail line, Joe, into the front. So the sitting room has now become the bedroom in an effort to try to get a sleep.
And it is an apartment block, isn't it, Linda?
It is, yeah. And I've contacted everyone and anyone from management companies to TDs.
What I mean is, has anyone else complained?
Yes, absolutely. But it's all fallen on deaf ears, Joe.
Well, God knows you and Laurie be deaf if you have to put up with that noise for much longer. But Linda, one quick point to Linda. Linda, where you live now, if I'm right, is... You now look over the canal.
Yeah.
That beautiful new canal walk.
That's right.
It's gorgeous, yeah. Stunning. Which comes up at North Strand and out at the Luke Kelly statue at the other end.
Yeah.
But the railway, when you bought the apartment, the railway lines were already there.
They were, Joe, and that's a very fair point. We didn't realise that they were going to be walking on us from midnight until 5 a.m., 5 nights a week. Like, it's absolutely mental torture. Like, the stress and anxiety is unreal.
And how long has it been going?
We envisage the odd project. That's the odd bit of maintenance. But I don't know what's going on in terms of a policy level, in terms of noise management from Irish Rail, but just totally inconsiderate of the neighbouring.
And Linda, how long has it been going on for?
This time around for a year.
What?
Yes, I've contacted...
So much railway track is below you there to be going on for a year?
Exactly. Their last rationale apparently was that they were putting in a new signalling project. But sure, the work was going on for about 9 months before that.
And the argument, what is the argument for not being able to do it during the day or on weekend?
They need to do it while the rail line isn't working. But sure, like, there's lots of different noise management. There's not even a noise management tent that's put up. The lights even are beaming into the bedrooms of the residents.
what do you call it, a noise management, you've done a bit of research, have you, a noise management tent?
I've done everything, Joe, because have my you? Background, my PhD is in social justice, so I spend my days lobbying for the rights of everyone else.
Okay.
But sure, we can't sleep in our own home.
Okay, say there, Linda. Sorry, Laurie, you'd one other point you wanted to make.
Oh, no, that's all right. I just wanted to say the thing that I guess bothers me the most is that I feel that this country has allowed construction to take precedence and be more important of value than human lives and suffering. Mm-hmm. And I think that is just impossibly horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And in the world we live in, Linda, and I'll come to Laurie as well, same question. But in the world we live in, like, Linda, do you get 4 hours notice to say, listen, we're working there again tonight?
We're supposed to, Joe, but we don't. I've even sent them suggestions and plans and frameworks to be able to contact instantly the residents so we can find an alternate way of sleeping that night. Because we're trying to get her for work the next day and we're going around boggly-eyed. But sure, like, it's all falling on deaf ears. They keep redirecting me back to a community liaison officer who's totally ill-equipped and just keeps sending us the same generic email. I contacted the noise pollution office in Dublin City Council, mm-hmm. and the lady's very polite, but again, it's the same generic responses.
Okay, the two of you, by the way, are very quiet spoken. You really are. Just stay there, Linda. It's not funny. Now, Linda, I'm looking. I've been handed a photograph of Google Map from... There's a lot of railway lines around you.
There are? Yeah.
Okay. Barry Kenny is Communications Director in Rodairn. Barry, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Joe.
Can you hear me, Barry?
I can, indeed. Can you hear me?
Yeah. What do you think of what Linda was saying?
Look, obviously, it's the busiest rail line in the country, right beside the apartments that Dart runs along there. And as you mentioned, there's two other lines around it. Obviously, because it's such a busy line, we do have to do essential maintenance at night to make sure we can keep running the trains for customers during the day. And we have had a particularly intensive period of works recently, to be fair.
Okay.
We've been doing a lot of commissioning of new signalling. People who use the service will know we've actually been shut 3 of the last 4 weekends there because of that work. So we've done as much as we can during the daytime, but most works do take place at night, and particularly on such a critical piece of line. We're substantially complete there now. We do obviously apologise to people that are affected by it. We do everything we can to minimise the noise, but the nature of some railway machinery and some track means is that it will generate noise.
And Linda, do you want to speak directly to Barry, who's Corporate Communication Manager in Rodairn?
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks for the opportunity, Joe. I contacted Barry about 4 months ago in relation to this and sent him umpteen videos, which were proof and evidence of the noise that we were living with and trying to sleep with. And again, from Barry, I got the same generic email and redirected back to the community liaison officer. So it's nice to know that Barry actually exists and that he's listening. In terms of your clout, Joe, it's good to have a direct line to
Barry. What do you want to ask Barry, in fairness? He asked, come on.
What's the noise management plan and what's your intentions in terms of managing the noise going forward so that the Irish Rail are like linking in with the residents and have an adequate plan to protect the residents
alongside
the rail?
We do work directly with the management committee and ensure then that through them that residents are advised of major works in advance. There will occasionally be emergency works that aren't, I suppose, going to schedule the plans in advance that have to happen. But the vast majority is scheduled. We have an ongoing, our community liaison officer does engage with the management committee continuously when we have works in that area. It is nature, as I say, you know, where that particular development was built. It is, as I say, surrounded by 3 railway lines and with that Dart, and we do have to keep the services going during the day. So obviously we look at methodology for all works. Technology advances, it improves, it reduces noise levels, but there will be noise from works on railway lines, as there would be on any other form of infrastructure. But we have to make sure we put the work process in place that minimise it, but it's impossible to eliminate.
Have you had many complaints, Barry?
Oh, well, obviously we'd work with the management committee where residents have issues. I think particularly newer people who move into areas beside railway lines probably may not appreciate that railways are 24/7 in either train service operations, but in maintenance as well. And it is something to be aware of, that like roads, railway lines do have to be maintained, and most of that does have to happen at night.
See, am I correct in saying, well, Barry Bid, but looking at, it's Crosby's Yard, isn't that the name? They're built by Harry Crosby a long time ago, but he doesn't own them now. Obviously, the individuals own them, and they look fantastic from the outside. I've never been in them, and there's an inner garden area, I'm told. But when they were built, Linda, like, there are, I'm counting, 11 railway lines on almost exactly four sides of it, effectively. It's probably the most...
And if I can just respond to Barry there, we're not new by any means. We're here 8 years.
Okay.
But the last year has been insufferable. And it's only in the last year that we've had to move the bedroom from the bedroom into the sitting room. And like Laurie was saying, that's inhumane. And it doesn't suffice just to say that's your policy and you just need to deal with it. That's what you bought.
Well,
it surely is not in this day and age, like Irish Rail... Mm. A joint of the economy needs to listen to the residents. You talk about the people in terms of transport and using, but we are those people. And there's a disconnect between the management and the actual residents because we're not hearing those messages.
Well, look, as I mean, obviously the management committee in residents participate directly there, and if there's anything to redress through there, we would be happy to discuss that with the management committee and with residents. But you know, you are dealing with metal when you're dealing with you're dealing with steel when you're dealing with maintaining railway lines. It has, and I reiterate, it has been a particularly intensive period of work recently because the signalling that we're replacing has been in place since the early 80s. So a project of that scale doesn't come along every year. It is something that is quite rare, but because of the nature of that line, there will be more maintenance of those locations than elsewhere.
If you would stay with us, because Linda had other suggestions as well. 51551, watch on.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And that's the railway line. Near her in the centre of Dublin. This is the noise that Laurie recorded from her backyard. And that's a development beside her house in Dalkey in Dublin. Linda, you, what did you suggest earlier on? A tent, to you were giving out with the lights as well.
Exactly. They can erect noise prevention tents to limit the acoustics in and around the work that they're doing. It's a very simple act that happens on a European level, but Irish Rail have no interest in doing it.
Is that true, Barry? Let Barry answer. Sorry, I know you're not soft, but we'll let Barry respond there.
No, I mean, we look at the infrastructure we have, what can be installed in terms of kind of light minimisation, all that. We have quite an extensive boundary there. The apartments go up. I don't think it is actually possible to put that kind of acoustic barrier directly adjacent to that development. So that, you know, you're talking about something that covers a number of stories there, and you have
I'm talking about a mobile tent unit that is erected around the workers as they walk at night. If you keep insisting on working at night, I do think that the pneumatic drilling
around the actual working site rather than the
the works, like, it isn't a case that works all the time are constantly in one area. Some works can move across an area during the night. We may cover a couple of miles during the night, so obviously having, you know, a tent structure in that situation is difficult. Plus, in putting something like this up, you know, you're talking about an area that has electrical wires around it, and that set up and that taken back down, you've got 6 hours to do the work. So
one of your overarching rationales for working during the night was because you could turn off the electrics. That's what I've been told with some of your engineers.
But you can't take the wires down. You know what I mean? The overhead wires are obviously critical to the operation of the damage.
But
you can't take them down. You've got to put them back up. They are a structure in themselves.
Regardless, it's not my job to find solutions for you not to wake your neighbours every night. That's part of your team, and you have people that are paid a whole lot of money to manage
and you aren't managing advances. But I mean, you literally are describing something that will be taking down a critical structure overnight, which is key to the work in the rail line, and that just is not technically
possible. No, actually, that's not what I said at all.
Could you canopy the lines, Barry, when they're not live? Do you follow me?
I know exactly what you're saying. I can understand how it's described. I don't believe that is possible in that area. I will certainly get more info for you on that, Joe, but I don't believe that
is
possible.
And Barry, your point about that the canopy mightn't work, the sound tent mightn't work because it's the works are moving. But if the works are moving, surely they're moving either closer or further away from where Linda is living.
But what I'm saying is, Joe, to put a canopy around a work site, that has to be put up. You have 6 hours in an overnight work period because the railway line operates up to about midnight and we start up at about 5:30 in the morning.
How long is this work going to go on at that site, do you?
These particular works are now substantially complete. We have, a small number of redundant points, redundant material that have to be removed, but that would be relatively low impact work. But it's a busy area for works. I don't want to mislead anybody. You know, the nature of that track, it has to be maintained. That area has to be maintained. But something at the scale that we've had in recent months is not something that's continuing.
Okay. And do you have a noise monitor technology on the site, Barry?
I don't know, that, to be honest, Joe. I'm just wondering, is that mandatory?
Yeah. Because Twin Light, who's the other noise, completely separate to, but raised by Laurie, coincidentally on the same day, they say we've installed noise monitoring equipment noise monitoring and reduction equipment. But anyway, Linda, that's Barry says hopefully we'll finish soon. But
that's the same spiel that we've been getting for a year, Joe. Do you know, it's unfortunate. I'm sure even if they move from the back of my apartment, just because they move 100 yards up, doesn't make it okay, because they're waking other families and children 100 yards up. It's the whole policy that requires a shift and a rethink.
It can't be done at the weekend, Barry. Or...
Well, I mean, people at the moment who are travelling with us, they are people that have to travel. We're a public service. We have to keep going, Joe.
I'm trying to run a primary healthcare program. I appreciate that, but we
try to do as much as we can without disrupting the travelling public, where it's a huge project. As this
if
was,
you
got three
Barry, Barry, if you in the lockdown or over Christmas or whatever, in the lockdown when there's capacity limits on public transport, isn't there?
There's on the individual trains, Joe, but the actual full schedule is operating because. You've got to allow the capacity for those people who must travel for your throat.
Now, I'm thinking over Christmas, where it looks like there's going to be a major lockdown either way in terms of people travelling to and from work.
If you got a good run at it,
Barry, how long would it take, or is that the way it works?
I mean, this particular work, in terms of the commissioning, would have taken a solid 14 days, including
2 weeks,
when the clock works. But, obviously... at a time when people have to travel. You know, we wouldn't count on shutting down our service.
Kevin Finn is a consulting engineer. You're listening to these very, very difficult situations people are in because of noise, Kevin. Your point, please.
Yes, every project, construction project like that, has to have a noise management plan.
Okay.
And the overseeing authority is the local authority who give out the planning permission in the first place, where planning is required. And also they have the enforcement, they're the enforcement authorities for noise management. Also, the various people, the contractors carrying out the works, have to do noise monitoring, and they should have records there of whatever noise monitoring they did, and generally have to employ an independent noise consultant to do that, such that it can be verified.
Okay, and Laurie, in your case, given that you say you've measured it, which you have, obviously, have you been able to show that measurement to anyone in the council?
Yes, we have, and they just say that's just the way it is. And as we register 80 decibels and over inside the house, and that's just not right.
But I'm saying, have you shown this register, this measurement to the council, and they said, well, that's not, we don't agree with that, or we don't, you're the wrong equipment, or...
Yes, of course, they deny everything, deny.
Okay.
But as I told you, because I'm from a medical background, I know what they're doing is not right. And it's not good for human health.
It's dangerous for your ears, for your brain, and just your... I've been living in the car. I've given myself a severe kidney infection, which I'm being treated for.
Okay.
And we've also had to take temporary accommodation in a holiday home because the noise is just unbearable.
Okay. And Laurie, are you allowed to travel to your holiday home?
I got a special letter from my doctor.
Oh, fair play to you. Well done, because holiday homes are gone for everyone since 4 or 5 months at this stage. People don't know what state they're in, and their mobiles and their mobile homes. They're aluminium villas, as they call them.
Can I say one thing I find interesting is I've heard nothing from Twinlight coming on to defend themselves because they have no defense.
Now, they're very quietly spoken, Laurie.
Sorry,
I'm trying to be facetious here. They sent us in a statement saying we've done everything, we've invested a considerable amount to reduce and monitor noise levels, but they wouldn't come on. Maybe they didn't hear us ringing. Okay, Barry Kenny, thanks indeed for Mear Nodair, Laurie, Linda Green. We keep in touch. Kevin Finn, consulting. Have you any final point to make, Kevin? I'm conscious of trying to help people.
Yes, indeed. The general noise level in terms of decibels in a residential area is 45 decibels, and there are exceedances required for short periods for some particularly noisy construction work. But the kind of levels that lady is getting,
she's saying 80,
far exceed any kind of reasonable levels.
Sounds like she's a very strong case. Okay, Kevin Finn, consulting engineer, Gurumina Market, Laurie, Linda Green, Barry Kenny, 51551, my chance.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
51551, my chance. Sylvia Briggs. Sylvia, good afternoon.
Joe, I only rang in to say that I'm down on Harbour Road in Dalkey, and for 2 days now I've been trying to work out where the terrible noise is coming from. So I just wanted to back up Laurie. I don't know how they live near it.
This is the noise you've been hearing?
Yeah. I didn't know, and this morning I kept saying I'll have to go out and find out where
that's the noise there you can hear in the background, Sylvia.
Oh, yes. It wouldn't be as bad as Laurie's. Like, I'm a good distance away from her.
Well, you didn't even know where the noise was coming from.
No, I just could hear it first thing in the morning when I'd open the window.
So far away, you couldn't see where the source of the noise was.
Oh, good heavens, no.
But you could hear it.
I didn't even know there was building going on there, or whatever there was going on there.
Okay.
But it was just I wanted to back
Okay, well, that's
up.
Good
it's
support.
Horrific.
Well, thanks for taking the time
to
support.
You're
Remind yourself, that's Sylvia Briggs. Caroline Hunt, noise of a different kind. Revelers in Rathmines in Dublin. What's been happening? Because just tell us and suggestions, please.
Hi there, Joe. Good to talk to you. Just in recent months since the first lockdown took place, people have been congregating on the banks of the canal, and you're talking about groups of even 8 to 10 people at times, 12 even. The evening the last lockdown was introduced, it was two groups of 20 even that I saw in close proximity. They just, bring slabs of beer and they're kitting out with blankets even now, or towels, to keep warm. And it's just ridiculous,
there is an incredible Garda presence in the country at the minute, rightly so. Are the Gardaí, which actually would have been the same point outside Grogan's, there was no need to have a cabinet meeting about Grogan's. All the Gardaí had to do was clear the street, go up and down with the vans, and just ask people politely, as they always do, to move on. Are they doing that at the canal?
Put it this way, in all of these months, I can count on two hands the number of times I've seen the police moving people on.
Yeah, but then there's Gardaí. I was in it this morning. Is there nearly a permanent checkpoint on the canal, on the road there beside the canal?
There.
But that's for motors, obviously.
Two evenings in the last maybe 10 days, I have seen the police on the canal, but they're stopping cars as opposed to policing the canals and moving people on.
I see that. And now because Rathmines has featured in terms of being one of the three spots in Dublin, which was very high, it is decreasing, but one of the three hot spots in Dublin.
Absolutely. And that's what concerns me, that they don't seem to be doing anything about it. And, you know, even outside, can I mention the name of the pub?
Yeah, of course. Yes.
Yeah, the Blackbird in Rathmines, that would be very close to where I live. And, you know, in the last kind of 2 weeks, like the number of nights I've just seen lots of people congregating outside, you know, plastic cups in hand. Mm. And, you know, the police saw them the other night. They pulled up in a paddy wagon, took a look and just drove off again. And I just thought, where are we living?
Maybe this weekend will be different in terms of the Gardaí politely asking people to move on, because the pubs are allowed sales. There are guidelines and laws about the distance, etc., around for takeaway drink. But even if they didn't get in the pub, they'd be getting it in the off licenses or the supermarkets. But maybe we wait and see, because my understanding from trying to read between the lines of the cabinet meeting is they pulled Drew Harris over the coals and said, why aren't you enforcing these, the laws that already mm-hmm. exist? Mm-hmm. Caroline, we'll keep in touch. Keep in touch. Great. Please keep in touch. That's Caroline Thank Holland you. In Thank Rathmines you. In Dublin. Amanda, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Back to where we started. Maura, who contacted us, annoyed to say the least at the teachers' union looking for extra time off at Christmas. Go ahead, Amanda.
Well, I can only speak for myself, but I was listening, and my dad's a teacher in Kildare Town, and there's, you know, he's working every day as hard as he can, and, you know, he's in a difficult situation. There's over 160 students packed into one gym with no ventilation. They can't open the windows. There's no, like, normal facilities for that. Mm. You know yourself, a normal gym in a school, so they're all
there. Where's the classrooms gone, Amanda?
So they're trying, they have these hubs, so they're trying to keep the children separate, but that means that any of the teachers that are teaching a specific year group are located in the gym. So they can't go open the windows, you know. It's very cold, like any other like any other time of year in the gym. But even now that the weather is getting bad, they have to stay inside. The children have to stay inside this classroom. It's their first experience of secondary school. So they're still breathing in the same air from the minute they go in at 9 o'clock till when they leave.
And do you think that's fairly common, that a school is in one area, there's 180 students being taught? I presume that you're saying there's wooden partitions, but in one area, there's 180 students being taught.
It seems like a lot.
With no ventilation and no windows.
No air, no natural air getting in, none at all. So you would think that if it was happening anywhere else in the country, that it wouldn't happen. If you think of what happened up the country with the golf gate.
Yeah, well, let's hope whoever the teachers' union, that school, are taking that up. Okay, Amanda, thanks indeed.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.